Blessings, family. This is the day that the Most High has made. Welcome to the Sabbath day that was made for man. This lesson, you are tuned into the Awakening brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association. I am the preacher, and before we go any further, let's go before our Father. Abba, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and the things to be set apart. Your name is set apart, for you are Hayah, the Most Hayah. We love you and we praise you. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done, not ours. On the earth as it is in Shemayim, give us today the substance that we need to exist spiritually and the physical to fortify ourselves in this evening of the day. We'll be careful of what we put in our bodies and obey your dietary laws. Forgive us for our faith. Forgive us the debt that we ask you to forgive us for as you teach us how to be forgiving towards our brothers and sisters, not our enemies. This day we pray in precatory prayer against our enemies like King David, Isaiah, Psalms 58, 78, prayers that Shaul prayed against Alexander Smith. Do unto them as they have done unto us. We cast our cares on you, Lord, that you care for us. We don't worry about our enemies on this day. We turn it over to you, Lord, that you will resolve all of our issues if we give them to you. So we thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from all evil. Evil thoughts, concepts, evil injections, pandemics, accusations, and pains of the past. Cause us to walk in uprightness and joy, along with our fellow brothers and sisters, the humans that you created in your image to dominate this planet, but has been desecrated by these Neanderthals, by these haters of you that worship other gods. We will bring you into prominence through praise, because you said you inhabit the praises of your people. Thank you for the Holy Spirit at this time of Pentecost, season of Pentecost. May it rain down on us and rain inside of us as we worship you, so that you might be present. As you said it, in your presence is the fullness of joy. And we thank you, and we say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High. Shema Israel. Hear, O Israel. The Most High, our power, Yah, is one. He is the one and only true God of the entire world. We're going to get into that later. And this program is brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association. It's a page that you can find on Facebook. Soon to be up, the BCRA 400 website will be back up and running soon, but it's just a page for information, education about who we are as a people, And unbeknownst to me, when the Most High gave me the idea of starting a separate educational, I won't say page, but more of an organization, a nonprofit organization, not given to our spirituality, because we don't believe that we have to have a 501c3 as terms of being part of the church or the body. We don't do that. But for educational purposes of awakening of our people, we are into restoring the education of who we are as a people. And unbeknownst to me, this was synonymous to the awakening. You know, there are many awakenings going on with people that are finding out all types of information, or people that are trying to wipe out the understanding of the Most High and his original intent. Then there's the awakening of people as to what's really happening in our world, because information has been wrong. Pastors and preachers are finding out they've been teaching lies, as the scripture would say, said that they would say, we've inherited lies. Truly, we've inherited lies. Our people who kept going to cemetery schools to try to learn this history book found out that they were learning lies from people who were trying to engraft themselves into our history book. And now we're understanding our spirituality. So this awakening is a lot. So we've decided to go into a different direction with Blueprint for Life and deal with the awakening in an aspect that helps to restore the cultural identity of the original Hebrew man, one asleep mind at a time. You'll understand as we go forward that Christianity was beaten into you, and that this entire world was melanated, and your contributions to this world are endless, and you are more than you know or understand. And I unapologetically speak to my people first and foremost. I'm ripping off the chains of slavery that hold down my mind, my spirit, my body, my eyesight. Ripped off the chains that were put on you due to your disobedience. Not because of another nation. They've been libertized to do what they do due to your disobedience to the one true God, Hayah, whom we call Yah in Psalm 68:4 from David, and whom we call Yahweh. I know at the end of the day, all these names y'all have, Yah is in there. He is the Most High God. Our peace, our habitation, and our justice. I don't want to get off into confusion of the names. But Lerone Bennett wrote in his book, Mayfair, Lerone Bennett wrote when he talked about the particular slave ship, the Mayflower, he talked about us being stripped away from our culture, which would inherently strip us away from our spirituality and our God. And whenever you look in our history book at this world, calls a Bible, which immediately shuts off the information centers of your mind because you just put us in a box. But when the world referred to these things in our book, we would see that we couldn't even go into battle unless we were willing to praise the Most High first and foremost, which is why we sent in the trumpeters to blow the shofars. And the Levitical priesthood would go before the guns and armies, because as being a people of our particular culture, we're festive, we're jubilant, and our praise is that of power. It inculcates the very presence of Yah. And when we get away from praise, which is why we're so distracted as a people, we fall into depression and lack of faith. And that's why I said earlier that the scripture tells us in Psalms 148, the oil of praise, he inhabits the praises of Israel. When you don't feel his presence, it's because you don't give him a reason to come into your presence by showing an attitude of gratitude because you've been delivered. Despite the fact that we're in a captivity and a lot of our people are going through hell, many of you know that you have come through a lot of mountains and valleys. Even we as a people, being so resilient, know how to focus on the accomplishments, but yet move forward in that strength and not become stagnant in our weakness. Paul Shaul said it best. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind me, I press toward the mark of Yah, that I might obtain my prize. And that says so much in that verse, that even when you're successful in your past, don't hang your hat there. Even if you made some mistakes in your past, don't hang your hat there. So as a people, culturally, we're returning. We have been duped into watching slave movies and old movies about the accomplishments of our people, which keep you from making your mark in history because you're constantly looking back. And we can't continue to look back, because as soon as you see the newest slave movie out, you just become angry and distracted. And your anger is centered on the wrong persons when Yah is trying to get us to come back to our culture, to him as our God, our statutes, laws, and commandments, our dietary ways, and come out from amongst these other nations that don't love our God. And I'm going to bring that out to you today in the lesson, that these nations are worshiping other gods. And this is why they're trying to push interracial marriages and we are the world and for God so loved the world, without understanding our book, which was not given to them to understand. You know what amazes me? We had one of the original universities in Timbuktu that Mansa Musa helped to finance, but we were learning things such as farming, science, medicines, herbs, how to build infrastructure, geoengineering to further our culture. Now your universities are trying to teach people how to do what we do innately, that we're born with. As a musician, I hate the fact that every genre of music that exists in Babylon, which you call America, comes from the black man. You call me whatever you want today. I'm done with all that racist stuff. Comes from the black man, and then the other nations are racist. Take that art form, break it down, put it within a course, and sell it, teach it to you, and say you need a letter of learning of degree from us to say we taught you how to do that when Yah gave you that gift naturally. You didn't need another nation's papers of learning. I can go outside of music and tell you about Dr. Sebi, who only had an elementary school education but was able to break down the genome and cells and the mucus factor carrying sickness. Come on, when you connect to Yah, you activate the gift that he put in you from the beginning of the world, and he gave you a gift because that's the gift of life. When he breathed into you, he gave you extra gifts. And it's up to you to tap into it. So your cultural awareness will enable you the ability to tap into the gift that Yah gave you. Jeremiah 1:5 says this, before I was formed in my mother's belly, he knew me. He called me, sanctified me, gifted me, anointed me. Before you were born. Is why we're not down with this my body, my choice abortion stuff and this Margaret Sanger Planned Parenthood crap being in our neighborhoods. It's a shame, people. Ever since I believe the early 1900s, somewhere around the 1920s, our black and brown community has killed over 20 million babies. Now, when you think about that, some of those babies would have gotten married, gotten together and had more children, offspring to expand. 20 million deaths sacrificed to Moloch. And the crime still continues today as they take our aborted babies, put them in these injections, makeup, food, chemicals, aborted fetal cells, and then use the body parts to sell them on the black market. It's a treacherous world. Not going to get into that today. I have a lesson about God and understanding that our God is the only God, the one true God, and that these other nations and these other races worship other gods, fallen deities. And I want you to know, they have power. they have power. And I don't know for the life of me why, especially some of our sisters in our community, are given to want to seek out their power that they give them when the power of Yah is greater than any fallen entity's power. We got to pray today because we're going into some spiritual territory. But I do know that no weapon formed against us can prosper, according to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 54. But even more so than that, greater is he that's in us than anything in the world. And if you only knew what lies inside of you, and we're going to get into that, but let's look at some history. Black Cultural Restoration Association. And the reason I say that, we want to wake you up. I just want to go through a few things that were there. One of the first things I want to talk about before I get into the lesson, as it pertains to our history, is that I tiptoe around. Not only me, thousands of awoken prophets and preachers, we're tiptoeing right now, and I'm calling it out and saying, stop tiptoeing. Stop being scared of this censorship, because you're really afraid of this world and what this world can do to you, as opposed to doing what Yah told you to do, looking for different names so you don't have to say jab and putting things in you and scared to say COVID-19 because they're going to censor me. Who do you fear? Preach the word. Be instant in season. I've been waiting for them to knock me off of a particular social media platform because I keep posting the truth, because that's what I'm put here to do. And I'm not going to tiptoe over this word Christian and Christianity, because our forefathers have been lied to. It's just like I did two lessons on the rapture, and people talking about this rapture, saying that I'm not worried about all this stuff going on and the shots and the injections, because I'm going to get raptured out of here. So I don't even have to read the book of Revelations, because I won't be here for that. This is the ignorance that's inside of the Christian church. You're ignorant. I will talk about Revelations 3:10 later on in the show. He will keep us, Israel, from the hour. He is going to gather his people, according to Revelations 12:9. I can go on and on in Revelations, but you don't need it, because you're going to get raptured. You're going to miss all this. You don't have to go through Jacob's trouble. You're special, highly favored. I can live how I want to. I can live lawless. I don't have to keep the commandments. I don't have to do none of that stuff. But I'm getting raptured out of here. Oh, my goodness. We're going to get into that. So let's get back in some of this culture. What I was getting ready to talk about is the fact that people don't realize that when the slaves came over here, there was a particular book called How to Make a Negro a Christian. That's when we were called Negroes, which we have no problem with, because in our book, it's Niger. And we know there was an area in northern Africa called Negro Land. And there was also an area called Judah and Eden. And if you understand the maps, people, in the continent, you understand that Jerusalem is a part of North East Africa. It's not a separate continent. Therefore, it's a motherland. Christianity was used as a form of submission and slavery. They had this book in the African American Library Museum in Washington, D.C., and people were flocking to this museum. But, you know, with this pandemic, everything getting shut down. But many people were running to this museum because they were starting these nations and races, Amalekites, Romans, and Edomites of Vatican, were starting to release little pieces of artwork back into society. Just like you're starting to see that the mummies that they pulled out of the encasings, they're seeing that they're melanated. They were black. The Egyptians were black. But they hid from you that Egypt was conquered during Spanish Inquisition, Alexander the Great. That's why you have Alexandria in Egypt, because of Alexander conquering it. And the whole idea of when
the serpent seed, Satan's seed, comes to conquer a land like he did the Spanish Inquisition, and millions were killed in the name of Christianity. They rape and pillage the women so they can eradicate the darker complected man. They were killing darker complected people until they could regene the entire area. Who does that? Satan's creation, Satan's seed. In our Hebrew history book, it's called all types of ites, Kenites, Jergesites, Jebusites, Hittites. It's a foreign seed of Neanderthals that don't have the same seed as the humanized Negro. And the Most High told Satan this when he kicked him out of the Garden of Eden. He said that her heel will bruise your head and your head his heel. We were told later that the older would serve the younger, and the younger would be a stronger. But anyway, if you go to the page, you'll see that this book, there were tons of books that were written by, one by Taramis that says Master-Slave Relationships, Submission and Slavery, Christian Slavin, the Willie Lynch Letter, To Be a Slave. And you know what? These books are available on Amazon right now. And if I were you, I encourage you to read them, to go and get one, because it'll give you a breakdown of some of the stuff that they've been hiding from you while you've been the walking dead, sleep, and just walking in the lap of ignorance because you didn't want to know the truth. And we've got to know the truth because that's what will set you free. Let me see if I can give you some more of the titles that I see on here. Kamal Makisi Taruth. I'm trying to see how to make a Negro Christian. Who wrote that? Give me 1 second to pull that up. Got all my notes already. I didn't have notes for that one. Bear with me. Got more stuff. We go get it today. And I'm going in on Christianity because we should not ascribe to labels of religion, which comes across as bondage. It's bondage. We are trying to pull our people out of bondage. The only laws that you're supposed to ascribe to are the laws of the Most High. I'm going to get something out of our Hebrew history book in a minute, but that book that I'm in reference to was written by this Reverend Charles Cole Cock Jones, Dr. Reverend Charles Cole Cock Jones, a slave owner. And the commentary and analysis is by Kamal Makisi Tohuti. And it's a reprinting of the Religious Instruction of the Negroes and Other Works. We're trying to teach you how to transform a slave away from his culture of being a Hebrew. This is why, while we were in slavery, all we did was sing these spirituals that had to do with the area of Jerusalem, Babylon, chariots, swing low, sweet chariot, come by here, yah, kumbaya. Sometimes I wonder why we don't really pay attention to some of the small things, common sense things, and we don't look at these things. But we immediately began to long for the motherland and home. We didn't sing about Southern Africa, Middle Africa. We sang about areas that we were taken from. And the culture, you have to understand, I'm not going to go into all that today. I've done it in other lessons, look in the archives, but we are not Hamitic. We are not cursed. Canaan was cursed, who's the son, an offspring of Ham. Shem, which all encyclopedias, including the Jewish Encyclopedia, will tell you, it was the progenitor of the Negro races. That's why they're specific about Negroes and not Africans, Hamitic people, Canaanites, who introduced a lot of paganism, which is why Shemites were forbidden to marry Canaanites because they were paganists. Which is why they have so much Orisha, voodoo. masks and beads, and Pan-Africanism ascribes to that. And you have to be careful about this movie, Black Panther, because it brings out a lot of the Hamitic culture, but it infusing Negro culture, Shem, as well. Now, I'm not even talking about Japheth right now, but just understanding the difference. People, you've got to study to show yourself approved. And there's coming a time now where people are not going to be able to get online and spoon feed you any longer. Let me stick to what I'm talking about with this history. So Christianity is not in the Bible. The word Christian is in the Bible, our Hebrew history book, three times. And we find that it's not Yeshua, Yeshua's second name, last name. It means anointed one, like a called out one. So they were using this during the Hasmonean dynasty around the time of Alexander the Great. There were a sect and group of people that worshiped Serranus, and there was bishops, and they called people the anointed ones, the chosen ones. You have to understand the disciples were passing through Greece and the churches of Rome, and they were being called Christians, followers of the one that they knew who was there, who ascended. And everybody knew that these people were black people, Negroes. It wasn't until the 14th century that right before slavery came, everything was whitewashed during the Renaissance period. All of our images, our statues, our paintings had to be whitewashed because Satan was getting ready to introduce slavery and servitude, the curses of Deuteronomy 28. And you have to understand, the Arabs started this, Canaanites, and then your Khazars and your Amalek and your Romans. They wanted to see us enslaved. I'm a little duplicitous with my conversation right now because I keep going back to the fact that it's easy to look at them as an external source, but internally we were warned, our forefathers in Deuteronomy, that said, if you guys do this and don't do this, this is what's going to happen to you. And sure enough, over time, and hear me closely with this, we water down our belief system, our history, and our legacy, and we lose sight because we've been ripped away from our culture. We lose sight of the God we're supposed to focus on that's entwined in our culture. The only people that don't have this problem are the ones that worship other gods, other cultures that have their God ingrained into their culture and their schools of learning. These fake Hebrews, the synagogue of Satan, they send their kids to other schools to learn the Kabbalah and the Talmud because they're non-messianic. They don't believe in Yeshua, nor the God of our salvation. They worship some whole other. And so you're going to find out today that when it says blessing Israel and cursing Israel, it wasn't talking about those people. It's talking about these people in bondage throughout the four corners of the earth, our brothers and sisters. So when you beat this stuff into us, they only used key scriptures because during the 14th century, not only were things being whited out, a demonic language was getting ready to come into play called English. English would also attribute to our downfall because we couldn't speak it. We spoke the original language given by Yah, which was Hebrew, which was getting ready to be eradicated. Now, it was first eradicated at the Tower of Babel because through Nimrod, the people were being successful in building a high-rise tower, which would reach to the top of the firmament and hopefully get through the portals because these fallen demons, the gods that other people worship, were trying to get back into the atmosphere and area that they were thrown out of, Satan and a third of the angels, who are now demons. But when you get into the English language and you take a bunch of slaves that are speaking Hebrew and you start teaching them Christianity in English and they can't read, then it's falsified. Because trust me, it's not a white man's book because all it does is talk about is how Edomite and Amalek will be destroyed. You'll hear some of that today too. So in coming back to your culture, you need to ask these questions. What is my culture? Is it fried chicken and watermelon and greens? Hell no, Negro. And I'm sorry I had to say it like that because that's the level of stupidity that we have to deal with some of our people because you've been brainwashed. Now, with all due respect, you're much more vast than that. And I'm challenging you to study and look while it's time, while you have the time. Because to focus on going to get an injection for a pestilence, that's you thinking you can add 1 year to your life or take away when Yah's in control. So our Bible tells us, whosoever tries to save his life will lose it. And he who's willing to lose it will save it. So Christianity, over 400 years, was beaten into us so bad that it's become our culture, allowed to leave the cotton fields and the sugarcane fields on Sundays for as long as 4, 5, 6 hours to have church and throw you off of the Sabbath. And then here comes the Vatican saying, no, the Sabbath is on Sunday anyway. And then they start teaching you that the Sabbath is Sunday because Yeshua rose on Sunday, which is a lie. And then after they beat Christianity in you, while they're beating it in you, during the 14th century, that's when they created that image of Caesar Borgia with the Illuminati Freemason sign with his right hand up and two fingers facing up. That's Illuminati, a gesture to the Baphomet. It's an exact copy of the Baphomet statue, that gesturing with the fingers and sitting there. They create a white image because that's what you call white supremacy, to get you to get on your knees, bow down, and worship a false image. We are one of the only nations that will worship a God that don't look nothing like us and think it's coming to save us, when that God is the perpetrator and purporter of the evils we face in this earth. But yet, on Sunday, sun worship, you'll go inside of a pagan temple with that image in it and bow down to it, and the wooden cross that Moses, Moshe, warned us we would be worshiping. Wood and stone. I've seen one of our people talking about their little Bible study, and on their little pamphlet, they had an image of the cross and the image of the six-pointed star, which is a hexagram which attracts demonic spirits. Some say it was the seal of Solomon that he used to command demons to move and build the temple. But it attracts demonic spirits. It's not the Star of David. It's the Star of Remphan. All this is the stuff you find in your Old Testament where they tell you you don't have to read that, or the Apocrypha, which they took away, or the 300 books that Enoch wrote, or the Book of Enoch that tells you what the children of the fallen look like. We're going to get into that today. But they'll tell you to go buy Joel Osteen's book, Joyce Meyer's book, T.D. Jakes' book. Who's that guy? Not just Creflo Dollar. I'm talking about Scientology books, How to Master the Mind. It was another religion, the one that Farrakhan got with. Dianetics, L. Ron Hubbard. I remember years ago they tried to get me to sell those books. I had to go for training to sell those books. It's brainwashing people, as religion is, to enshroud your mind. Where the spirit of Yah is, there is liberty. And that I would do, I'm not going to do to destroy my flesh. I am at liberty through my freedom in Yeshua to do whatever, but I'm not going to do those things that I would do. No, certain things that we just don't do or ascribe to. Nevertheless, get back to this history, because I've only gotten to this far with this one book. Let's see. There's a book called Undeniable by Dante Fortson. You can find that on Amazon. And it tells you in 1 Maccabees, the third chapter, 47 through 48. Then they fasted that day and put on sackcloth and cast ashes upon. Now, hold on. When you talk about the book of Maccabees, you're talking about the time of Alexander the Great, Ptolemies, the other names escape me right now, Antiochus, Epiphanes. You talk about the time when they were bringing in the Olympics and the games and had our people as being Hellenized Jews. And this is also the time where a lot of people started converting to a form of Judaism and Hebrew customs and mingling amongst us. They started around 38 BC 33-38 BC, they started to steal our culture. It wasn't just the Balfour Treaty in the 1900s. And I'm going to get into something a little bit later that people will tell you the lie that they taught in seminary that your own people killed Yeshua and said, give us Barabbas. No, these were the people that were the seed of Satan that blended in amongst us that took on our culture. So this that I'm reading in Maccabees is during that time. Also, it says, then they fasted that day and put on sackcloth and cast ashes upon their heads and rent their clothes and laid open the book of the law, wherein the heathens had sought to paint the likeness of their images in our books. 1 Maccabees 3, 47 through 48. This book is a good book to help you to make the connection of society throughout the ages of the things we've gone through as a people and why. You've got to connect the dots, people. And I understand if you just haven't connected the dots that you just don't get it. But there's no longer a reason to be ignorant because the earth is producing the fragments of scrolls, caves of Qumran. It's coming forth to help us connect the dots. And that's exactly what we're doing. So let's cover just a few more things. I want to talk about, this one was interesting, how Versace stole some information from Hebrews and created his logo and trademark, but we know they've been stealing stuff like that from us for years. And then I want you to pay attention to the catacombs over in Russia, how they refused to change the images. So they still have a black Madonna and black Savior. And I want to say something also about the fact that Israel, that's being trampled by the Gentiles right now, we were up in arms a few weeks ago when we saw them kicking out the Ethiopians and the Hebrew Israelites. We were upset. And now we see that that place is being bombed and destroyed and casualties. You never know the mind of Yah and how he's working and what he's trying to do, but he's going to protect the remnant and look out for his people that keep his laws and commandments. And that's what I want you to understand. What I was going to say about the lawlessness is that Matthew's, and we'll get into the lesson, Matthew 7, 21 and 23, that said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. When you read this in other translations, what is the will of the Father? That is keeping his statutes, laws, and commandments. Revelations 14 and 12 tells us that here is the patience of the saints, they that keep his commandments. And we find out about Yah's will being the commandments in Psalms 119, to do thy will. Oh, Yah, to do his will is how we get past the scripture and not find ourselves being one that he'll say, I never knew you. See, first, I quote it all the time because it's one of my favorites. 1 John 2 and 3 tells us that we hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Or if you say you love him and you keep not his commandments, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. So our knowledge and intimacy with him and him knowing us and our confidence in that comes through the fact that we keep the commandments, and that's his will for us as his children. We're in so much trouble right now, which we're coming to the end of. I can almost smell home. Now, I'm not saying years. I don't know exactly, but I can tell we're coming to the end of this captivity by Babylon. But we have to realize that the curses that were on us is due to our inability to be obedient. So I'm going to give you a few more things. I was trying to pull up a particular scripture as it pertains to his righteousness, his will, his commandments. And I'm trying to multitask. I'm saying all this to say in this segment that returning to our true culture and not just the last 400 years is the goal, is the true goal and what we should be striving for. Our culture has a spirituality that's ingrained, and he's waiting for his people to collectively come back to him. And what involves coming back to him is coming back to what he wrote with his own finger inside the tablets, the holy days he gave us in Leviticus 23, the dietary law that he gave us as far as what we're supposed to eat and not eat. A lot of the stuff that you're eating that you think is okay makes you sick. You enjoy a good shrimp plate or whatever it is, and at the end of the day you get sick. No, there are things that we can eat that won't cause us to get sick, which we can bless Yah for, because some of these things that we try and put our mouth around, it's not food. A pig, swine, it's desecrated. Our Hebrew history book tells us that swine is not for our consumption and it's unclean to us. And he said, touch not the unclean things of the world. So we have to walk in his statutes and commandments and learn to do them, because that is the, those are the laws that keep us in sync with knowing him. And Matthew 7 and 21 is telling that the people that work iniquity work lawlessness, and lawlessness is iniquity. So you can't break the law in the society that you live in. So if you want to be in the spiritual kingdom of Yah, you have to know what the rules are. And the rules are the laws and commandments that people are telling you you don't have to keep anymore. They're actually trying to send you directly to hell. You've got to come in and start keeping the moral law, and then learn how to be expansive into the customs and culture. Some things we don't have to do, some things we can't do, but he'll write his laws on your heart. And you can definitely practice the moral law because you want to better yourself spiritually. Let's look at a few more things, talking about the fact that there were some people excavated up out of Israel, but we need to understand that Yah's in control and he's narrating and navigating everything. As we see this world turn upside down, no, because it's being ran by people who are upside down. With all the surveillance and spying, pedophiles, rapists, murderers, war criminals, drug cartels, slave traders, demon worshiping is on the rise. That's why we're going to expose the various gods, child killers for adrenochrome, terrorist traitors, etc. The reason they're not being bothered is because they are the ones that are behind all of this, and they're trying to watch us. Satan wants to be in control and worshiped and praised. And you need to understand and know that he is not omnipotent. He's not omniscient. That's being everywhere, all knowing, all places. But he feels now he can be like Yah, which was his goal, according to Isaiah 14, through artificial intelligence. And seeing that man is worshiping science, talking about follow the science, Paul warned Timothy, beware of oppositions called science. And that was a warning to us. Man, through his so-called technology, will try to emulate Yah, and demons riding on his frequencies through his technology. So you have man trying to merge with machine. And believe it or not, what you're being injected with will also serve as a means for your coming together and merging, and the synergistic effect of man with machine, because you've just put inside you a computer program that changes your DNA through modified ribonucleic acid mRNA, and these cells will never stop changing. So therefore, it's gene therapy, and you've become a project, and only Yah knows what's going to happen to you, which is why I know the divine is leading certain people to not play around with man's science. And Yah is speaking to you. You have to be connected. And once you start connecting the dots and crossing your T's, dotting your I's, You're going to start to see what's transpiring around here, but we don't walk in fear because our Yah has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Once you can get out of a taught force, mindset of Christianity, you'll become expansive to understand what he requires of you and what he's engrafted you with, the capability he's given you. There was a destruction of the black civilization from about 4800 BC to 2000 AD. There was even the black Sumers. For ancient records show that the people of Sumer, Sumeria, were even black. What happened to them? And what happened, a Sumer legend said, they lost their history. The extracting and excavating, extracting of our people from regions and our history is a part of disconnecting us from Yah and trying to get us to die off, but we don't die. We definitely do multiply. So we've been the walking dead, and a lot of us are still the walking dead because we don't know who we are spiritually. And Deuteronomy 28 describes our behavior. The behavior we have under these curses and our sins and our mistakes. And that's what we're trying to get away from. So there's just a little bit I want to cover with Black history. Let me give you some bullet points real quick. The page is Black Cultural Restoration Association on Facebook. But there's another page I'm going to give you some information on that I endorse, which is called Black History in the Bible. You have undeniable evidence that Shem's descendants were and are black. Find out more about the Spanish and Portuguese Jews. And if you continue doing your history, you'll find out about the United Kingdom, Britain, and London, how they were the Moors and how they went into Portugal and was driven down into North Africa. Find out about the transatlantic slave trade where over a million of our people were killed. That was the Holocaust. But then what they don't teach you about is the sub-Saharan slave trade, which was on the opposite side of Africa, sending slaves towards Asia, Russia. And they don't want you to know that it was a black man that built these places in Russia, those beautiful buildings in Russia, the Taj Mahal in India, all a result of the sub-Saharan slave trade. So get the information and history, people, because what you see, even with the architectural structure that I'm in reference to, all of that's been stolen from us. These other seeds that started the Freemason Society, they took that information and created a secret society and began worshiping Satan, who was trying to usurp us and our authority. So that technology we brought here to the United States when Michelle Obama told you it was slaves that built the White House and the Washington Monument. And those are phenomenal structures. They're not made to worship our king, our savior, our father. And I'm talking about Yah. Christianity has you worshiping Jesus as God. You're talking about God in the flesh. No, when you asked Yeshua how to pray, he said, you say, our Father, which art in heaven. You pray to him. And whenever you pray for other folks, you pray in his name because he's making intercessions for you. But anyway, I digress. We also, all the inventions in the side of America were created by slaves and by our people because of the mindset that Yah had given us to be able to create. But back then, we had no access to patents and Washington, D.C., and paperwork and licensing. It was just being stolen by the slave masters and put his name on it, a Ben Franklin. It's just like, how you ever think about the mindset of a George Washington Carver who had like over 100 and something inventions? Blessed. It's the same mindset that you see like that was in Dr. Sabi, who only had a grade school education but was able to actually, literally, cure cancer and AIDS and heal the human body with that comes from the earth. You think they weren't going to kill him? First, they stole his products and then remanufactured everything, took out all the good stuff, put their own stuff in there, and then got rid of him. This has been going on for years. And I'm saying all that because I'm talking about the sub-Saharan slave trade, which doesn't get any hype, but that sent people out to the other regions of the world. So we have been the bone, the bare bones and back of building up society because it was originally given to us, but now man is seeking to destroy what Yah created for his creation, the only family he's ever known in the earth. About to go into that. He did not create this earth for those other seed lines, but he said, don't worry about it. When the harvest comes, I will separate the wheat from the tare, the ones that think they you, but they not you, and the synagogue of Satan. The Oxford Encyclopedia lets you know clearly that the ancient Egyptians were black. The Igbo pyramids connected with ancient Egypt. There's some great information on this page that gives you some insight. See, I know that when you start to connect historical dots, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, comes on you because you, your eyes open and you're like, oh my goodness, been lied to my whole entire life. You know, those chains being broken are a form of deliverance off you because it gives you some self-respect to realize I am made in his image and he has breathed in me the breath of life. I am a child of Yah. This is all a part of your deliverance, not a false deliverance that you received while spitting, foaming in church, turning on the ground like you had demons in you. You did have demons in you, religious spirits, demons manifesting in you. I'm sorry to say it, but let me just say it. I remember being in church and would see people sit in church for 2 or 3 hours and shout and sing and play that organ and talk loud and get all excited. And soon as they leave the building, be outside fighting, no love, and going to commit acts of adultery and fornication and eat all manner of unclean foods. That was not a spirit of Yah or deliverance. When his spirit comes upon you, he seals you up to the day of redemption. And when we are a righteous people walking in righteousness, great things come out of us and through us. And all praises are to be given to the Most High Yah. When we come back, we're going to talk about Yah, the one and only true God of this world. Don't get it twisted. The one and only true God of this world. We'll be right back. Yes, sir. Babylon is falling. Welcome back to The Awakening, Blueprint for Life. I am the preacher, brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association, and we just got through with our Hebrew Sojourn of the Culture of the Race segment, where we expose the lies so that the truth might set you free, that you can prepare yourself to walk in the prominence of the soon-to-come kingdom and the soon-to-come king. Yeshua HaMashiach, all praises, long live the King. Hallelujah, we praise him. Let's get it. Isaiah, the 14th chapter. Let's talk about the why Babylon is falling and who's behind this fall. Isaiah, the 14th chapter, the 12th verse. Says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, we're going to tell you how now, verse 13. Because 12 is talking about his soon coming demise, because he's revealing himself now. He's being worshipped and praised in music, commercials, tennis shoes, corporate media, pharmaceutical industry. It's all about Satan at the forefront. You better not mention Yah, our goodness, our righteousness. Brothers and sisters, we're living in that time where good is being called evil and evil is being called good. And that's being censored is everything that's good. Even Yeshua said in Matthew's, how dare you call me good? There's none good but the Father. He checked somebody quick because they said he was good. Only Yah is good. Not your Jesus. Oh, Jesus is good. I've heard all them songs. No, he checked a person in the scriptures. Check your manuscript. He said, don't you ever call me good again. There's only one that's good, and that's Yah. And I'm establishing that because we're about to get into the sanctity and righteousness, and sovereignty of Yah, the one and only true God. How did you fall, Lucifer? Verse 12 says, son of the morning, and how in the world did you just get cut down to the ground? That is prophecy of what's going to happen to him in this world system and what's happening. We should take confidence in that. And he's weakening the whole nations. You see that, 12? That weakness, the whole nations. This is what he's doing right now. Gas shortage, food shortage, fear, plandemics, through your pharmaceutical medications, through the GMO foods that you're eating, trying to block out the sun, trying to get you to eat fake meat that's made in the 3D printer. I'm weakening the nations, taking away your churches, making you wear a mask and take away your oxygen that's killing off your cells and destroying your lungs, spraying the air with chemtrails that you're breathing in that's causing cancer, lupus, diabetes, getting you to worship sodomy, worship homosexuality, lesbianism, worship getting high, getting drunk, worshiping WAP women, worshiping this, that. This dude who weakened the whole world, how did you do that? How art thou cut down from the ground, hallelujah, which weakened the whole nations with your faith, confederacy of sinfulness, which brings temporary highs and eternal destruction? My God, wake up, people. Verse 13, for this is what Satan said. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. The north that he's talking about is the Vatican, where his seat is in that throne, where he's ruling with the Pope, which means vicar of Christ. And vicar of Christ means replacement of Christ. These people are trying to play God. The Vatican is the great whore of Babylon, which spawned all religions up to because they have a lost identity that we're trying to restore. Satan, through the Catholic Church, brought forth all these religions as it's being exposed here in Isaiah 14 chapter, shows you Satan's five-point plan. He wants to be worshipped. What does that mean? These churches that you used to go to in the past, they were actually worshiping Satan, and you thought you and those people were worshiping the Most High Yah. No, you're worshiping wood, the cross, and stone, a feeling, a religion. You're worshiping tradition, and you're worshiping a feeling. This is why the music portion of church began to be longer than the preaching portion, because the preacher wasn't preaching nothing, but Satan knew he could get you through the emotions of music and worship. As him being Lucifer, who had, as described in, I believe it's Zechariah, described that he was the chief angel cherubim that had horns, and he could make beautiful music and sounds. His job as being one of the chief angels was to give forth that music. They would also often say he was the choir director. And the euphoric atmosphere that churches would bring about comes from the times of worship in Tammuz back in the Old Testament, where they would actually have sex in the temple after the harlots went forth and worshiped. They would go into orgies in the same pagan temples, which is why you see so many sexual exploits taking place in the church, from the Catholic Church on down to the Black Church. So much homosexuality in the Black Church and in the Catholic Church, with the priests raping the altar boys. And now you've even got people saying, if you've been touched by a minister in the last 20, 30 years, call this number. I thought it was a pharmaceutical industry commercial, but it was about sexual abuse in the church. There is a God, it escapes my mind, that was worshipped in the Old Testament that came in. It's a fallen angel, a demon. And I can't call the name of it that they worshipped in these churches that produced this euphoric spirit. And you have to know that Shaul warned about sensuality over spirituality. These people get worked up in church with this music and bring forth these spirits. And it's going to come to me, the name of that demonic spirit, but I'm not trying to call a bunch of demons on the Sabbath anyway. So you don't even see. Satan promised you in Isaiah 14 he would be worshipped, and you've been worshipping him in church because you are worshipping and glorifying a feeling, because the only way you can truly be changed is, let's go through them real quick. Psalms 19 and 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul of man and making wise the simple. And then, as we talked about last week in inventory, after the conversion process, you become adapted to the kingdom by adapting and becoming acclimated to the laws and commandments, because they begin to cleanse you. And then you go down in the water as an open symbol of the fact that I am renouncing the world and being a part of this world, and I'm dying like Yeshua did, and I'm going to raise up a new person. And this is an open demonstration. Many people, if they don't already have the Spirit, receive the Spirit after that. But we see in Acts 19 chapter where Paul walks up on some devout men who keep the commandments that had not received the Spirit that came down on Pentecost. And he laid hands on them and imparted the Spirit. So there's many processes of when these things transpire. But you don't have the Holy Spirit because you're jumping in church, because what you're doing in church with that music like that, you can get that same feeling at a concert. Which is why a lot of people worship musicians and artists. Which is why some of them have to be taken up out of here, because these artists worship Satan, because Satan gives them their power and their artistry and their gift. Some of these people, you don't know what it is, because they can't really sing, but they're mesmerizing. Demons, because demons always show up as an angel of light. I digress. Let me move forward. Verse 13 said, he said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of Yah. Now, this is your NASA, which in the Hebrew word for NASA is beguile, deceiver, deception. They're already putting rockets up there. Space stations are going up there. But there is a firmament and the Van Allen belt, which they cannot break or go through, which is why you got space junk from China landing everywhere. Man is not getting off this planet alive. Don't be deceived. Do your research. Even though YouTube keeps trying to hide it, pull it down, all that stuff, do your research. This is not a heliocentric model that Yah created, this particular earth. There's a disc and a sphere. And underneath us lies Sheol, Hades, and then there's the depths of the blue. And Genesis tells us he separated the waters from the waters. Come on, people. We got to know what we're reading and stop falling for the Jedi mind trick. So Satan is trying to get back up into the atmosphere and get off this earth because he's been relegated to this earth. He is an interdimensional creature along with his fallen demons, but there's a dimension they can't go back into anymore, and they're pissed off about it, and they're trying to use technology to get back there while being worshipped in various religions. We'll cover that in a second. I got precepts for you today. Let's go to verse 14. He said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell and to the sides of the pit. And they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? I hope you see that. The manifestation within a person, is this the man, not the angel, not the spirit, not the demon? Is this the one? We will look upon him and see how weak was the one that weakened all the nations. You know, probably one of them Fauci looking, you know, gotta be something like that. Bill Gates, who I want to kick in the pants. Sorry if I sound a certain kind of way, folks, but that's the truth. I'm not, you were in Christianity taught a messed up understanding of loving your neighbor. That was in reference to you loving your fellow human beings, because there's a righteous indignation we are allowed to have. Now, he told us not to take things in our hands, but he said, be angry and sin not. And don't think he didn't say for you to defend yourself and take care of yourself. But these imprecatory prayers that we pray against our enemies are for their destruction, because they want us destroyed. When we go to loving them, you're loving your enemies, and there's no biblical precedence or scripture for that. There's people that want you destroyed that are the seed of Satan that don't love Yah, and you asking Yah to bless them, keep them, protect them. You do not pray for the enemy like that who will walk inside your house, your black church, and shoot all y'all up. There's no redemption for them, because the Bible tells us some of the people that are born on this earth are born for the purposes of destruction. They have no spirit in them. There's no Yah in them. The seed of Satan is in them. Yeshua told the people that wanted them crucified, you are of your father, the devil. They were coming across as being religious and righteous, because that's what man does. He works on the outer. He don't work on the inner. He tries to deceive people. Satan, make it look good, knowing you toe up on the inside. Even going to the Christian churches on Sunday, people are worried about how they look. Put on a suit, spray on a bunch of cologne and perfume to block out the smell of Saturday night. Get some Physine, put it in your eyes. Say the right things. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. But still blind as ever and being controlled by a spirit of lust. It's amazing how many demons would go to church on Sundays and just sit there and participate. Let's read some more. I digress. Go with me here as we deal with these gods. The key scripture for the foundation of what we're talking about is going to be found in the Apocrypha, Ecclesiasticus 17 and 17. Listen to me closely. Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, which was removed from the 1611 King James Bible by the Nicene Council, said they don't need to know all this stuff in here. Listen to what it says. For in the division of the nations of the whole earth, he set a ruler over every people. But Israel is Yah's portion. I'm going to say it one more time because you probably didn't catch it. Because you have, once this is over today, you can study this whole Ecclesiastes, because it's talking about the fear of man upon all flesh and how he gave us dominion over the beasts and the fowls of the air. The five operations of Yah are talked about in this chapter and what he's imparted inside of his creation, because there's another creation that's operating on this planet that's destroying it. They're causing the global warming. They're creating oil, fossil fuels. There's another creation that's destroying this world. And this whole earth is groaning for the returns, the return of the true Hebrew man to be back in prominence and position, bring peace to this earth again, because it was given to us when we were created from the black and brown dirt and breathed into. Now, because this chapter, I could just teach on this whole chapter, but I want to highlight 17 today for the purposes of this message. Every man from his youth is given to evil, neither could they make to themselves fleshy hearts for stoning. Now listen to 17. For in the division of the nations, that's what it was called by different names in the Isles of the Gentiles in Genesis, the sixth chapter, but today are called Russia, China, Iraq, Iran, United States, Africa. Listen closely. In the division, dividing of the nations of the whole earth, the Most High has set a ruler over every people. That means every nation has a God over them that's being worshipped. But he said, but for my people, I will be over them. That's powerful. I'm blown away with that. It said, but Israel is the Lord's portion. Only Israel. So you have to remember, and we're going to get into these scriptures, that these demons, that Satan, when he fell, Revelation 12 chapter, and took a third of the angels with him, these are gods that reign over other nations. But he said, as far as Israel, I'm to reign over them. So when we get from up under the protection covering and worship of the one true God of Israel, we're worshiping fallen angels and other deities as our people do in the onset of false Christianity, Catholicism, which is idolatry, and we're breaking the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We've been a perpetual sin cycle, breaking the commandments since we got here and went into captivity. And we've been doing this in seven captivities, and he delivers us from them all. And we perpetually keep breaking the cycle. Every time you were going to church on Sunday to worship the cross, you're breaking the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. When you're worshiping that image of a white Eurocentric Jesus, thou shalt have no other gods before me. When you're spending more time in front of the TV than in reading the Bible and worshiping up, thou shalt have no other gods before me. When you're doing transcendental meditation and yoga and saying, oh, I just got to have my music, or I got to have this, I got to have that, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why? Because he's the God over Israel. Who's Israel? Israel are the saints. Who are the saints? The original Hebrews. Psalms 148 will tell you that. And who are the Hebrews? Black people. Well, who's that over there? The synagogue of Satan, spoken of in Revelations 2 and 9 and 3 and 9, who are the Khazars and the Amalekites that come up out of Rome, out of the Caucasus Mountains, that have the seed of Satan inside of them based off of Cain, who was given a mark. And that mark delineates and makes him different from our people. I'm going to get into this today because Lamech and Methuselah was afraid when Noah came here because they said he looked like another seed, one of the children of the fallen angels. And the book of Enoch describes what the children of the fallen angels look like. But first, let's delineate the fact that there are different gods who are over different nations. This is why Yah is jealous and upset with us as a people when we try to be coons, Uncle Ben's. What's some of them other words they use? They ain't Jemimas and sellouts. Or even when we try to be, there's a sister a lot of people don't like, but I think she's smart, but she is definitely on Candace Owens. Yeah. when we try to be good Catholics, and when we try to be New Age, Oprah, we are moving to other realms. Oprah introduced the worship of foreign gods to all of you. And along with Oprah was Tina Turner with that movie. All y'all started worshiping Buddha and going to get some beads, saying, I'm going to get rich like her. And here's the thing about it. These other gods have power. When you serve them, but they're going to require blood sacrifices, worship, you selling your soul, you bowing down to worship the God of Isaiah, the 14th chapter, in exchange for power, like Satan did Yeshua after the 40-day fast. If you'll bow down to me, and we know what that symbolizes, you getting on your knees. If you bow down to me and worship me, I'll give you all of this. Because he's the God that's worshipped in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, that created various religions. Even your Seventh-day Adventists, your Pentecostal church, your Hinduism, your African religions that you're taking on, talking about Pan-Africanism and pouring out, let's pour out some for the dead homies, and talking to the dead and playing with tarot cards. You're moving into other realms to worship other deities. I'm going to read this Ecclesiasticus one more time, 17 and 17. For in the division of the nations of the whole earth, Yah has set a ruler over every people, that's every nation. But Israel is the Lord's portion. Israel is the Lord's portion. There's another scripture I have for you, which is Amos 3 and 2. It says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Now, how did I know that these people were Hebrews? Because he's punishing us for our iniquities. What are our iniquities? Our perpetual sins. What is sin? 1 John 3 and 4, sin is transgression of the law, breaking the law. Who's breaking the law? The ones in Deuteronomy 28 that said, these signs will be on them forever to show that they are cursed people because they won't keep the laws. So if he says he's personally going to be over us, and then Amos confirms that we're the only family he's ever known, and he says, that's why I'm whooping you, because you're my children. I don't go around whooping other children who've got somebody else over them. Do you see what we're in? Which is why Yeshua said, come out of this world, my people. If they hated me, no, they're going to hate you. Who does the whole world hate? For no reason at all. And you scratch your head and be like, why do these people hate us so much? 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Let's get it. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. You ready? Because it goes right into it. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Yeshua, who is the image of Yah, should shine unto them. So when you accept Yeshua, who is the image, and don't get it twisted, because we're his image too, but we're afar off because of sin, because we won't keep the laws. Understand, if you don't keep the laws, you're in sin. Sin is not smoking and drinking like the Christian church told you. Sin is not keeping the law. 1 John 3 and 4. So we're made in his image, but we're born shapen in iniquity. And we continue perpetually sinning. Worshiping images, which are pictures of who we think Yeshua is, and putting other gods before him, and becoming traditionalized in our worships that were introduced to us through slavery. The gods of this world have blinded the minds of our people who can't believe we're the people. and understand what's required of us. You're blinded by the gods of this world that are powerful, which is why Scripture tells us in Ephesians, put on the whole armor, and that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in high places, spiritual wickedness. This is power. These other gods who are over these other nations that we keep running up under because we want to be like Sarah and Timmy and Becky and Quan. I remember for a while when all black folks wanted to be Bruce Lee, who was dressing like Asians, talking like them, eating like them, and buying them slippers and wearing them. We always, because we're lost, want to try and take on other customs and cultures, which introduce us to other gods. It took me a long time to understand that martial arts is demonic because they try to transcend to the same place that the people from the Middle East in yoga through Kundalini spirits try to go to, which is open up chakras. They say this gives you power. This is why they have the one-inch punch, five fingers of death, and you see them flying and moving around like that. Yeah, they had gotten to places like that in Asia through martial arts because of the worship of a fallen deity that empowered them to do strange things like break bricks. So we worshiped that and walked away from our Yah. When I got news for you, Hebrew men were bad, like David. They were killing bears, tigers, and lions. They didn't need martial arts. David killed a giant. The 12 sons of Jacob were mighty men that could kill whole camps, nations, and towns. Judah and his brother went and killed a bunch of Hamites and Canaanites for messing with their sister Dinah. We need no martial arts. We were so strong and strengthened and empowered. That's why 300 of us could take out a 2 million battalion army. They decided to make a movie out of it and call it 300, but it was about our people and Gideon. 2 Corinthians 4:4 puts light on the fact that there are other gods along with Satan in Isaiah 14 that are at work to keep us blind from coming into the knowledge of the truth. This is why historical information in the beginning of our show is a part of the teaching so that we can break down some of this blindness and open your eyes and shed some light through the gospel. Not the gospel that you heard from Billy Graham. Just accept Jesus, you'll be all right. No, you better come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments. Until you do that, you're in sin. Revelation 22:14 says, here are they that do the commandments. You hear them and you do them. You'll have a right to come into the gates of the kingdom. You're going in because you hear them and do them. Most of your other nations and Christians are just saved by grace and living in sin. And I can live any kind of way. I'm a Christian. I can do whatever I want. He loves me. I got grace. He died for me. No. Then why are you throwing out the whole book of James that tells us that our works of keeping obedience to his laws are going to get us in? And what I just read in Revelation 22. You got work to do, buddy. You've got to chastise this flesh. You've got to open your eyes. You've got to stay away from the other gods of this earth that are blinding you. Blinded. Oh my God. I can't believe that worldly song from the 80s popped up in my head. That was a demonic song. Thomas Dolby blinded me with science. Now we see the power of that demonic inspired song because we're blinded by the pandemic. We don't even fear Yah no more or trust him that he can do Psalms 91 and bring us through a pandemic, sickness, flu, pestilence. We run into the white coat doctors and telling them to put your beast juice inside me. Blinded me with science. The gods of this world are blinding the minds of the people, and they're more blind than ever now because we're worshiping Satan. There's no true prophets. And they're trying to make us look like fools and say that, oh, those black Hebrew Israelites, which is an oxymoron, Hebrews are black. It's converts that are white and of a different seed and Neanderthals. And you refuse to believe it because you're caught up into multiculturalism and we are the world and a good time. Everybody just wants to have a good time. And all we need is Yah. I got more to do with this God stuff, but I almost got carried away with that one right there. That's powerful as it pertains to your deliverance. So whom the gods of this world are blinding the minds of the people. Let's talk more about these gods. Let's go to Job, the first chapter. Do this quickly with my phone. Here we go, Job 1. Pull up the testament of Job when you get an opportunity. It tells you how once, after Job got a new wife and new kid, he had lost his wife and his children, but Yah restored everything. But Job told everybody that he was not of the same seed of his people, but he married Dinah, the sister of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he told his new sons the lineage, what great lineage they come from and whose mother's parents were and all that. Just check that out when you get a chance. But I don't want to deter from what I'm saying. Let's go to many of you know the story. Job 1 and 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. The sons of God are the angels, the watchers that are spoken of in Genesis, the sixth chapter, that slept with the sons of man. Left their first estate and decided to use seed and produce giants, which are the Neanderthals. And they're hiding the giants from you. Now these Neanderthals and their seed can appear normal to man now. Originally, when they first slept with these women, let me read it real quick. Genesis 6 and 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives, all which they chose. And the Lord said, wow, my spirit shall not always strive with man, but that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days because of the children that were produced from the sons of God who had the ability we see in Job 1 and 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. They could go back and forth at the time. And there's I believe it's the book of James, the Testament of James. It talks about the fact that at sundown every day, the angels always come back before Yah. And one of the things, not do they only worship, but they present to him everything you've done and you haven't done and tell it on you. So you know that he's assigned angels to your life that follow you and they see all your deeds every day. I need to say that. So you check yourself every minute, every hour. That's why he said you're going to give an account for every word and every thought. Because it's been documented. Now, when there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Most High Yah said unto Satan, where are you coming from? And Satan answered, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down in it. And he said, have you considered my servant Job? And then that's when he goes on to say, you got a hedge around him. So you need to know that those who are true servants of Yah, who know that the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, and that keep his commandments and are righteous, are protected by a hedge of righteousness. You will not be protected if you're not keeping the commandments. Sorry to tell you. But fortunately, that might also answer some questions for some people that want to always ask why do certain things befall them or why their prayers aren't answered. The prayers of the unrighteous and those that turn their ear away from hearing the law are an abomination to Yah. That's in Proverbs. He don't even want to hear your prayer because you keep turning your ear away from hearing the law. because you're saying that's done away with. I'm a Christian, and I live by faith and grace, and I can do whatever I want. And I'm going to do whatever these fallen angels and these other gods, 2 Corinthians talks about, tells me to do, because I'm surely not worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, who's over us. So if I'm not under his protection and covering, where am I? I've set myself up for destruction. Come back to Yah, people. His commandments are not hard, not grievous. You've just been living the wrong way. That's all I'm going to talk about. And Joe, let's go to the next one. I want you to see these fallen gods, the power of what you're dealing with. Angels, they were cast out of heaven, relegated to this earth and this atmosphere. And they hated the creation of man. And they did not want to bow down and worship Adam. So they're like, let's deceive them, take their inheritance, and we will rule the earth. And that's why the earth, it says that the whole earth is turned over into the hands of the wicked. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan hath come down having great wrath, angry, pissed because he got kicked out. Michael and the rest of the other two-thirds of angels, during that fight, they kicked him out, beat him down, and left him down here. You've got to know that once they were kicked out of heaven, at that time, and relegated down here, their goal was Isaiah 14 to get back out there and to be worshipped and to fight against us and destroy us. If you can get rid of Yah's creation, there's no reason for him to come back. If you can desecrate Yah's creation and keep them away from worshiping the one true God, their God, through the commandments and laws, then what is the purpose of salvation? They've all been turned over to a reprobate mind, and they now worship Satan. The salvation is to come, but he's coming for the patient ones that have endured till the end. And the scripture tells us, as I just said in Revelations 14 and 12, here is the patience of the saints, they that keep the commandments. The patience, saintly, how do I say this? Saintly patience is you keeping the commandments until the end, no matter what's happening around us, even with pandemics, politics and wars, and rumors of wars and earthquakes, you still won't give up. You're like, I'm still keeping Sabbath. I'm still staying away from pork. And I'm still not going to desecrate my temple and let somebody put human blood from aborted fetus cells, programs to change my DNA like they did in the times of Noah, put demonic spirits in me through a syringe, put metal in my body that's going to make me sick, and then turn me into a cyborg and dumb me down. No, I don't have to do that. There's no scripture in here that says do that. Psalms 82 and 6. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So he was in reference to the fact of us being gods, too. Go to John 10 and 34 to help you to better understand that, because even Yeshua repeated what was said over in Psalms. He said it in John 10, 34, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. As they taught you in the Christian church, it's gods with a little g, not God with a capital G. That is the funniest stuff I ever heard. God is a title. The word means theos. And we are part of a theocracy where we take our commandments from one God, monotheistic, not poly. And he speaks down through us through order. Let me read this first before I go into that. John 10:34 says this. Yeshua answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. If he called them gods unto whom the word of Yah came, and the scripture cannot be broken. And what happens with this? 1 Corinthians 6. We become judges, because what's going to happen? What's going to happen, which is why the seed of Satan and Satan hates you so much, and how you look, that he's trying to hide it? Why? because 1 Corinthians 6 says this, do you not know that the saints, the Hebrews, Hebrew people, and I described them to you physically, just like Yeshua is described in Revelation, the first chapter, his feet are so dark, they look like brass burnt in a fire. And his locks, all in this history book, talk spoken of, dreadlocks. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Verse 3, know ye not that we shall judge angels? This is why they hate your butt, because the fallen angels will be judged by Yah's creation that Ecclesiasticus told us he's the God of Israel. Israel will be judging angels. And the fallen angels are now fighting to live like us. How do they do this, you say? You've been hearing about it. Blood, drinking blood, adrenal chrome, baby's blood, stealing organs, organ implants, trying to get you, black man, to be an organ donor because there's something different about your creation and your womb. All of our sisters getting hysterectomy so they can study your womb, which is the birth and creation of all men after the original was created. Fighting to live amongst the gods that can live forever. How do I know that? How about Ecclesiasticus 19? The knowledge, 19 and 19, the knowledge of the commandments of Yah is the doctrine of life. And they that do things that please him shall receive the fruit of the tree of immortality. Did you hear this? 19 and 19 making it clear that the knowledge of the commandments of Yah is the doctrine of life. And they that do things that please him shall receive the fruit of the tree of immortality. The book of Baruch says the same thing. Here lie the commandments, which bring life. And the commandments were given to one group of people that we must teach and spread this information and this knowledge. So understanding that we're gods, meaning that we're judges and we will be judging, but we have inherited eternal life through our obedience to Yah, as we just read in Ecclesiasticus. Immortality. Because why? That was the original concept when Adam and Eve were created. But we got kicked out of the garden because we got seduced, enticed by the fallen angel who has a five-point plan spoken of in Isaiah 14. I shall be worshipped. I will be just like the Most High. And you think he has not achieved that? He's achieved it. And he achieved it when he's to be worshipped in every little church every Sunday morning, and then these other religions and these underground covert religions and the church of Satan that was spawned. And yeah, now he's being so exposed that eventually, as Isaiah 14 chapter said, we will look at him and say, is this the man that caused the whole earth to fall? I continue. Anybody calling in that's got questions, I'm not taking questions right now. You can call in towards the end, press 1, and then we'll speak with you. We've already covered Amos 3 and 2, that we're the only family in the earth he's ever known. Last week we covered the fact that the other nations are like spittle unto him. And then I want you to see something as I talk about these seeds and the fallen. The book of Enoch, the 105th chapter, as it talked about Noah. Let's see if I still have that. Bear with me. You have to understand that before the flood of Noah, everyone on the planet was dark. They called it the Dark Ages. That's funny to me, too. And then when they conquered, it was called the Renaissance period. You know, the nice words. And then they try to take black and make it a demonized color and then change white into being pure and perfect. To me, white is something that can just get dirty too quick, so don't wear it. Everyone on the planet was black before Noah's flood. Well, the Book of Enoch seems to indicate that the world before Noah's flood was a much darker place as far as melanin is concerned. While the Book of Enoch is not considered, you know, official from who? The Romans? Amalek? Think they're going to tell us what is official scripture? Uh-uh. Second Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of Yah and is profitable for doctrine and reproof. Not that Council of Nicaea and the Council of Trent that don't go through all of our records and say what can be in our book. No, all scripture. And the scripture is all what they call Old Testament to get you to dismiss it by calling it old. And we do know that older wine, older cognac makes some of the best drink and gets fine with time. It's a brainwash trick to say old, to say that you can disregard it and you don't need it. And so what they did was they hid these books amongst the Dead Sea Scrolls at the Qumran Caves. But what I want to bring out right now, since we're talking about gods, is I want you to see what happened with Genesis, the sixth chapter, these giants, these fallen angels, these other gods, the different seed that has been sown amongst us while we slept, the mutating of genes, the interracial relationships and marriages. Come on, I'm going to read another scripture later that talks about Balaam and how even our tribes remained amongst each other, and we were told to marry within our own tribe and not to go outside of our tribe. And I think I was talking earlier, I was saying that over time, not only do we lose sight of our culture, but we will acclimate ourselves to our environment around us, and that can change our appearance as well and our physicality, where we live, which sun we get, what we start eating, you know. And then now we're finding out the worship of other gods in other cultures and customs. You're worshiping the god of Babylon, Egypt, which they call America. Now listen to this in the book of Enoch 105, verses 1 through 3. After a time, my son Methuselah took a wife for his son Lamech, and she became pregnant by him and brought forth a child, the flesh of which was as white as snow and red as rose, the hair of whose head was white like wool and long, and whose eyes were beautiful. When he opened them, he illuminated all the house like the sun. The whole house abounded with light, and when he was taken from the hand of the midwife, opening also his mouth, the baby, listen, opened his mouth, and he spoke to the Most High of righteousness. Then Lamech, his father, was afraid of him and said, what is this that was just born, come out the womb, worshiping the Most High? And listen to what he said. He was afraid of him, and flying away, he came to his father Methuselah and said, I have begotten a son unlike to other children. Why? Because they were dark. He is not human. Ah! If he's not human, what is he? You mean there's other people here besides humans? Another seed? Neanderthal? Maybe? Like they spoke of in National Geographic? Right. He said he is not human, but resembling the offspring of the angels of heaven. This is why they don't want you reading the book of Enoch, why it was hidden, because you just got a description of what the seed and children of the fallen angels looked like. Noah was albino, had albinism, which can happen in Israel, but what I'm trying to point out here is what Lamech was saying about Noah. He looks just like the seed of the fallen angels. There is a serpent seed here in this earth, brothers and sisters, that will be separated, the wheat from the tares. The world is trying to trick you into believing we're humanity in different shades and we all have the same blood flowing through our veins. So you believe the lie because you're asleep, because 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, told you whom the gods of this world have blinded the minds of them. And you've been blinded with science, which you were warned not to follow and were told it's an opposition from Apostle Paul, Shaul. Lamech was like, offspring of the angels of heaven. is of a different nature from ours and being altogether unlike us. The story goes on to let you know that Methuselah checked in with Enoch and told him, no, this is of Yah, to albinism. I sent him. He's going to deliver our people. There's going to be a great flood, and talked about what, you know, what would happen with him. But know this, Enoch got married and his three sons came, none of them came back out with albinism. They came out dark complected. You find all this out when you read the book of Jasher and the book of Enoch that goes into explaining to you our lineage, our heritage, because these three repopulated the earth, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. You know, Noah didn't go on to have any more sons. These three went and populated the earth. So it was true. And the only thing I want you to see, because you can go many directions with this information, is that in Enoch, 105th chapter, is a description of the seeds of the Son of God when they try to impregnate the women on the earth, what they look like. Brothers and sisters, I'm sorry to tell you, but it's as plain as black and white. Now, there is the ability for other people to be grafted in amongst us. We've covered those lessons, but that's going to be a small few people that will be grafted in because they don't like our God, they don't worship our God, and they don't believe in our Savior or the way he looks. Do you know there's a lot of people that are going to see Yeshua as a man of color and going to curse him and will still deny him because of the complexion of his skin? And Isaiah told us he was a man that was not one to look at. He's no Billy D. Williams and all that. He said, as a matter of fact, some people were repulsed by him and hated the fact that he had so much power and he was so holy. And then they went on to call him drunkard, gluttonous, hanging out with harlots and wine bibber, anything to try and destroy the man of Yah, who was made in his image. That's another lesson I'm not going to get into because Christian church tried to tell you that God put on a jumpsuit and the jumpsuit was called Jesus and that's God in the flesh and we must worship Jesus. Jesus is our God. You've been taught wrong and you need to be retaught because Yeshua, who was made in his image, pointed us back to him. And Yeshua is the word of Yah, what he speaks. But anyway, let me stick with the thing about the seed. Because this is deep to me. When you start talking about fallen angels and what their seed looks like, the description is the bright eyes, the fair complexion, the long hair. That's what these angels who are giants look like in the earth. This practice, he had to wipe out all those in the earth, but some of the giants came through. And the seed of the angels also came through the flood. So they would constantly continue to try and initiate this process in the earth until Satan thinks he can perfect it in the earth and be able to get his people to blend in amongst the humans. Enoch 105 said he's not human. He looks like, you know, Enoch 105, Lamech said, these children of the fallen are not human, nor is their seed. So now they're blending in amongst us. Brothers and sisters, you are entertaining people around you that are not human at times. So you don't even understand the complexity of Ephesians 6 chapter that says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Be careful how you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware, good ones that are watching you and bad ones. Because they're interdimensional. They have the ability to transform into anything. That's a lot to handle. But you can handle it. Especially if you're keeping the laws and commandments and come up out of religion that's painted a false image for you, a picture. So, Noah was born with white skin. Noah did not look like other humans. Lamech believed Noah was the son of an angel, and the angels were having children on the earth. White skin was not common, that's what the text implies, among humans. The children of the angels, which are also known as Nephilim, were white. And although the Nephilim plays a very important role in Noah's flood, they are beyond the scope and focus of what we're reading. If you're interested in depth, there's a whole study we have to do on Nephilim and the flood. If the humans weren't white, what color were they? The text seems to imply that pre-flood humans were people of color based on the location of the Garden of Eden. They were most likely brown or dark-skinned people. If you still aren't convinced that pre-flood people were people of color, Lamech's words being altogether unlike to us proves that everything about Noah was different, including his skin color. And I know that that was put in there for us to be able to know, because Yah knew that we would live in a time like this where man would whitewash everything, make himself God, and lie to us and get us to worship him. So now this takes the whole white supremacy worship through an image of Jesus being Eurocentric to a whole nother level. They got you worshiping Jesus to make him look like a child of the fallen, the Nephilim. Which is why he said, don't make images, don't worship images, and don't have no gods before me. So this world, through the Catholic Church, has taught you to worship Jesus and Jesus, that image. You got pictures of Africans bowing down, kissing an image of white Jesus' feet on a cross. You know that we have the ability to produce many different shades of black, and albinism is common amongst our people, not to mention leprosy, which came across as albinism. And that's why leprosy stood out, because they would look at our dark complexed hair and our skin, and if they saw splotches, it was the early signs of leprosy. So it was uncommon amongst our people. A few more scriptures with this God's lesson, and I hope this is blessing you. I'm just trying to bring something home. Unfortunately, people, you got more faith in the way of this world and how this world works than you have in Yah. The way this world works is deteriorating. And because you can't have the American dream, send your kids to college, and all, you have the wrong focus as the people of Yah. The house and 2.5 kids and making 150 grand to 200. All that's over. It's gone. We've got to learn to trust Yah. I've run out of time. Good Lord, I had more I wanted to share. I want to go to Numbers, the 24th chapter, and see if I can get that in. Where does all the time go? Time flies when you're having fun. I got so many more scriptures for you, but we're running out of time. I'm going to go into overtime. There's some 15 minutes of overtime, and I'm going to read Numbers 24. I'll probably close out with that. And don't forget to study Ecclesiastes, the 17th chapter. For those of you listening, if you didn't call in, you're getting ready to be knocked off the line. If you want to call in to hear the rest, it's 213-769-0910. You can call in to hear the rest of the lesson. Those of you that are on the computer area, you'll be able to hear me read Numbers 24. Chapter and sign out and close out. Let's see. And remember, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think you already have it, because truth is a journey, not a destination. Numbers, the 24th chapter. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Most High to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And the spirit of Yah came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob. That's his different tribes, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. Verse 6, as the valleys are, they spread forth as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of line aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn, which is a rhinoceros. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. This is Israel. He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. That is us, our people, not the synagogue of Satan over there now. That place is being roto-rooted out right now with all these bombs. And I'm glad they're sending our people up out of there so they can go ahead and do what they're going to do. Because Iran, the Medes, are getting ready to try to destroy that place and Babylon. There's so much getting ready to come on this earth. Let me finish reading. Verse 10. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, Israel, the tents of Jacob. And behold, thou hast altogether blessed them three times. 11. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. And Balaam said unto Balak, spake I not also to thy messengers, which thou sentest unto me, saying, if Balak would give me this house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. But what the Lord said, that will I speak. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And he took up this parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, Yah, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, Yeshua, and a scepter, Judah, shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth and Edom. And Edom, 18, listen, shall be a possession of Israel, the Edomites, Amalekites. Seir also, Mount Seir, also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Verse 19, out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites, those are the seed of Canaanites, and also seeds from which the Jebusites and Hittites, all of them flow. I'll give you some of that history. He looked on the Kenites and took up this parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenites shall be wasted until Ashur shall carry thee away captive. I got to find this real quick. Hold on to verse 21. Go to Obadiah for the precept. Obadiah, the precept is in Obadiah. The book of Obadiah says this. Verse only one chapter, verse 3. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Go back to verse 21. And he looked on the Kenites and took up this parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, verse 22, the Kenites shall be wasted until Ashur shall carry thee away captive. And he took up this parable and said, alas, who shall live when Yah doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Chittim and shall afflict Ashur and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. So he was giving him warning of the prophecy of the end times that we're living in and how these nations and countries will be destroyed in Israel. The tents of Jacob will rise again. And these ites, who are the seed of the fallen, and these other nations who do have no respect for the Most High. Let's read Revelations. We'll get that. Revelations 2 and 9, 3 and 9. But let me read this first. I know we're running out of time. There is The Most High uses Satan's seed, the Kenites, as the negative part of his plan. And you'll see this in the book of Joel. John 8:39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Yeshua saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. This is how you point out the seed of Satan as well. Verse 40, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. That's why I told you that was the seed of Satan that was a part of getting Yeshua crucified. Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God, justifying their actions, saying we're doing things right. You know, they live for the outside. But Yeshua said unto them, if Yah were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from Yah. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. They hated Yeshua, and this world hates Yeshua, and they hate a colored Yeshua, and they will have nothing to do with him when he comes, which is why they're preparing their armies to try to fight against him when he comes. And then 43, Yeshua said, why do you not understand my speech, even because you can't hear my words? The seed of Satan can't even understand or hear the words, which is why they create seminaries to recreate words and create a false religion that they bring us into that has nothing to do with the commandments and the laws and statutes. It's religiosity. Verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil. And how do I know this is confirmed what he's saying right here? Back to the beginning of our lesson, Isaiah 14. He promised he would be worshipped, and this is how he's done it, and this is how he's sown his seed amongst the humans. The wheat and the tare growing together. You are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, Cain. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, but he is a liar and the father of it. Cain was the first murderer. You will know the Kenites by their works. Cain was marked. The mark is clear. By their fruits, Matthew 7:20 said, you will know them. They will always reveal themselves. We love Yeshua, hear him, and want to keep his commandments because we know who he is, who we are. We can hear him. We are of his seed. We are not of the seed of Satan or the synagogue of Satan. And now to take courage and to take hope, because I'm running out of time, Revelation 2:9, I'll read it, and 3:9, and we can close out. May the Most High Yah continue to bless you this Shabbat, Shema Israel. Revelation 2:9 says this, I know thy works and tribulations and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are you, Jews, and are not. They're Jewish. They are of the synagogue of Satan. And then verse 10 tells us this, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. We are going to suffer some things. That's for you rapturites. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulations 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. There you have it. Revelations 3:9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. This is what they're going to do eventually, which we read in Numbers 24, which say they are Jews, but they are not. That includes the spiritual Hebrew, people that say we're spiritual Israel. That includes them because they're of another seed. And those synagogue of Satan Jews that come from Ashkenazi Jews, Khazars, all of them that converted, they lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved thee, like he said in Amos. You're my only family. And then verse 10, very encouraging for this hour. Listen, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, and we know what the word of patience is. It's Revelations 14:12. Patience is keeping the commandments and waiting on him to return. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So he's saying here, those that are patiently keeping my commandments and waiting on me, that 1 hour, that which is all it's going to take me to destroy Babylon when Yeshua comes back, I'm going to protect you during that time. There will be a gathering, as spoken of in Revelations, where we'll be tucked away and preserved. and the rebels will be purged out from amongst us, and a pure Israel will go into the kingdom after the purging has taken place. And he will keep us in that hour. All praises to the Most High. Don't let the gods of this world blind you and keep you from knowing the truth. And your family who can't hear it yet, they're blinded by the gods of this world because that's what they worship and serve. We're gods when we keep these commandments, because 1 Corinthians 6 says, we shall judge. And don't forget, we have one Yah, God, who's over us, who created us, that we must worship according to Ecclesiasticus 17, 17. And all these other nations worship a fallen deity, because in these nations, the rulership is of the seed of Satan. All right, that's been my time. All praises to the Most High. May he bless you and keep you, and enjoy the rest of your Shabbat. Shema Israel. This has been The Awakening, V the Preacher.